talking about judging people and judging churches and judging this world, the importance of doing so. Let me explain what's going on here in the book of Micah. Of course, Israel and Judah, as their custom was, were given over to idolatry and wickedness and filth and perversion. And so Micah is sent by God to preach against Judah and Jerusalem, the northern and the southern kingdom, and to declare unto them that essentially the Assyrian army was going to come and invade them and destroy them and essentially chastise them because of the rebellion against God. And chapter 1, he basically just kind of preaches against the two main capitals there. You have Jerusalem and Samaria. And then chapter 2, he talks about the specific sins. He preaches on their specific sins that they're guilty of. Chapter 3, he goes against, he starts preaching on the leaders who are responsible for these particular sins. And then chapters 4 through 6, you have some sermons dedicated to the future restoration of Israel and Judah in the millennial reign. Now look at, you're in chapter 3 there. Let's look at verse number 1. Here we see that he's calling out the sins of the political leaders. So it's not just the spiritual leaders that were guilty. We see that the political leaders obviously are guilty as well. It says in verse number 1, "And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment?" And what he's basically saying is that, you know, if you are in charge of this country, if you're in charge of this nation, if, you know, God has selected you to be a magistrate into this world, shouldn't it be that you know how to judge particular matters? Is it not for you to know judgment? If you're leading this country, you know, shouldn't you know how to read a teleprompter and not just kind of forget what you're talking about? He's basically saying, shouldn't you be the one, the example in this country of what it is to pass judgment? Verse number 2 says this, "Who hate the good and love the evil." So apparently these political leaders, just like today, are individuals who hate the good and love the evil. Now, this reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. And verse number 3, where it talks about how in the end times, perilous times shall come. The Bible says that they shall be without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Basically, what we see in Micah chapter 3, where they hate the good and they love the evil. You know, they hate Bible-believing Christians. They hate, for some reason, seeing, you know, a wife and a husband and their children, you know, dress modestly, going to church on a Sunday morning to sing hymns, to praise God together, to worship the Lord, you know, to just live a just righteous and holy life. They hate those things. Yeah. They hate the good, but they love the evil. They love the filth and the perversion. And he's saying there, look down at your Bibles at verse 2, it says, "Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones." Now, you know, it's debatable if this is like referring to like literally doing this. You know, it could be referring to that adrenochrome that Pastor Shelley hinted at, you know, earlier in the sermon. Or it could just be referring to, this could be metaphorical in the sense that, you know, they're essentially feeding on the flock of God. They're taking from them money. They're taking advantage of the innocent. It says in verse 3, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces, as for the pot and as the flesh within the cauldron, they shall cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doing. So he's basically saying, you know, you guys are wicked. You're not judging. You hate good and love evil. You take advantage of the innocent. You are wicked individuals who hate the innocent and take advantage of them. And there's going to come a time when you need me. There's going to come a time when you're going to cry out to me and I'm just going to hide my face from you. By the way, this shows us that there comes a point in a person's life when it's just too late. Right? There comes a point in a nation's life, there comes a point in an individual's life where they just cross the line and God says, you're going to cry out to me, you're going to ask for me, you're going to pray, you're going to fast, you're going to be in sackcloth and ashes, but it's too late. I'm not going to listen to you. And in fact, in Proverbs chapter 1, we see that he'll laugh at their calamity. It's God's sense of humor, amen? So here we see that the prophet Micah has no quarrels with calling out the political leaders of his day. And, you know, we should have no quarrels with preaching against the political leaders of our day, the magistrates of our day, because some of them are just really easy to call out anyways. I mean, you don't really have to say much, you know, say anything crazy about Biden. Just repeat what he says. And there you go, right? But it's the Republican leaders that people are often afraid of talking against, you know, with their conservative values. But here he says, you know, he's preaching against the political leaders. He's calling out their sins. And then in verse number five, he starts getting on the prophets. He says in verse number five, "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not in their mouths, they even prepare war against him." So not only are the political leaders guilty of committing wickedness, but even the spiritual leaders are guilty of this. When he talks about prophets, he's referring to supposed men of God, people that others would esteem as being spiritual leaders in that nation, those who are proclaiming God's word. He's saying unto them that they're making God's people to err. They're causing them to stumble. They bite with their teeth and cry peace. Now, I often, when I think about this, I think about the fact that, you know, a lot of Christians out there will bite and devour Christians like us, but they'll say, "Why aren't you guys peaceful? You know, why are you guys have to attack everyone as they're attacking us? Why do you guys have to preach against everyone as they're criticizing us?" Right? They bite with their teeth and cry peace. That's what they're doing. They're hypocrites. So he's calling out the political leaders. He's calling out the prophets. No man is safe from Micah here. He's not a respecter of people. And then in verse number 9, he gives us the common denominator between the two. He says in verse number 9, "Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel," listen to this, "that abhor judgment and pervert all equity." So what is the common denominator between these two? They hate judgment. They hate people who judge. They hate equity. They hate people who pass judgment. They despise it. They pervert it. They do not like it. It says in verse number 10, "They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward." So when they do pass judgment, it's not because they love the truth. It's not because it's the right thing to do. Their motive behind it is a reward, you know. And you say, well, how would you apply that to today? Well, you know, every Republican political leader will tell you exactly what you want to hear just to get them in office. And like manner, you know, there's a lot of prophets out there that will preach exactly what you want to hear just to keep you in church so you can keep tithing. He says, "They judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil could come upon us." It's a very presumptuous thing to say. And so we see here that he's preaching against the political leaders, the prophets, and it's because they abhor judgment. They hate it. And in the midst of all this perversion of judgment, hatred towards equity, we have verse 8. He says, "But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin," the Bible says. So what is Micah talking about here? He's saying you have these political leaders, a bunch of compromisers, who will tell you anything that you want to hear just to get them in office, and they do it for a reward. They're wicked. They're vile. They take advantage of the innocent. You have these false prophets out there, these so-called fundamental Baptists out there who claim to be Baptists, but they preach a repent of your sins gospel, or they have this liberal church where they just preach what you want to hear just to get you to give to their building offering or to their tithes so he can buy himself a new yacht or whatever. You have both of those, but then you have Micah. And Micah says, "I'm full of judgment. I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might." Why? "To declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." He's saying, "I am full of judgment to judge you regarding your sin." Amen.